5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench, the bad seed. So anyway, I'm watching this game, 87-81, Clippers lead the Mavs with a minute 14 left in the third. So the entire fourth still to go. Doncic still filling it up. They're down five. Porzingis has been thrown out of the game. And it's good to have you with us. 844-843-6879. Is the number to get on the bench, toll-free. Mafia's pouring beers tonight. And I'm watching Harold Brick. He's got no game since he's been out so long. You know, you can just see it, the rust just drooling off of him. And I know they all want to talk about his grandma and everything else. I want to talk about his game. I need his game back, like the game that we're accustomed to, a double-double every night. Because he doesn't look like that tonight to me. He looks terrible. I mean, that's just rust, never sleeps. Neil Young, son. Anyway, I just got a text. I got to laugh. It's just unbelievable. Mafia, if you only knew. So anyway, so the other games, at the very least, because I haven't really had a chance to talk about those yet. I'm going to keep my eyes on this thing, though. It'll be a clip joint by 5 after 3, 87-82. And in terms of productivity, Doncic now with 35 boards, 7 dimes, and Porzingis thrown out with 14 and 6 boards and a block shot. Right now, Kawhi's got 19, Morris 16, Zubats 10, PG 18, and your boy Sweet Lou with 12 and 5 dimes. 2 threes. PG's got 3 threes. Morris has 2. It's Farrell on the bench. We'll look at all the other games when I come back.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all on the bench, fourth is underway, and it's still a five-point game. So the other games, right, the Celtic game, for instance, they won by eight. Tatum and Brown lead the way. 109-101 was the final. Here's a problem. Right out of the gates, I look at, said on Coast to Coast, they're going to have to get productivity, the Sixers, out of Horford. No matter what, Horford has to go up 5 points, five boards, at least, of what he's doing regularly, right? So the bottom line is, in the season, he's, 12 points a game at least, almost seven boards, four dimes. And in this game, he was 6 points. So he was he gave him half of what he gives him. And he needed to give him, in my opinion, he needs to give him, 15 to 17 points a game, at least. At least. Harris gave him 15. Embiid gave him 26 and 16 boards. So the nasty double-double for JoJo. Richardson had 18, Milton 13. I said, how about Richardson? He hit three threes. Milton had three threes. So they led the way from downtown. And I said on Coast to Coast today, they got to get Richardson going. They got to get Milton going. They got to get Horford going. They got to get them going if they're going to have a chance. And the bottom line is that Horford didn't get it done at all. I also said Thybulle had to get some burn. He had 5 points in 33 minutes. When you play 33 minutes and you score five, you suck. Okay? Burks is the one that gave him 28 minutes and 18 points and six boards, two dimes. I thought Burks gave him the most, obviously, off the bench. I also said Mike Scott's got to give him something. They played him 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Now, when you have Horford out there, I get it. He's bigger. But when you have Horford out there, for 31 minutes, and he gives you six, at some point, aren't you going to put somebody else in there, like Mike Scott, to give you some bang for your buck? I mean, if Horford's not doing it, why not put Scott in there? They didn't play him. They didn't play him at all. So Tatum had 32, 13 boards. That's a monster game. Hayward had 12. He left with an ankle. Walker had 19, so Kemba was 0 for 4 from downtown, but had 19. Jaylen Brown had 29. He had five threes in the game. Jaylen Brown went off from beyond the arc. 29, 6, and 4 in 39 minutes for Brown. As for the bench, nobody did anything. Bottom line is Kanter gave him nothing in 8 minutes, no points, four boards. That's a disastrous game by Kanter. Tice gave him nine and three boards. I mean, how do your centers give you seven boards the whole game? I mean, that's embarrassing. They got outboarded 50 to 43, but it doesn't matter. They won the game. They hit 10 threes. Philly hit nine threes, 109-101, Celtics win game one, Tatum the difference, that's all there is to it. As for the Raptors, they blow out the Nets 134-110. I guess you could ask that question. Is that what the Bucks are going to do to the Magic tomorrow? Is that about the same kind of matchup? Toronto blows them out, and your boy Van Vliet went off in this game. He had 30 points, 8 threes, and 11 dimes. 30 and 11, the double-double with the 11 dimes, 8 threes. He was 11 of 15 shooting. That is being on fire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ibaka had 22 and 7 boards, 3 dimes, and he hit 2 threes. Ibaka getting involved. Lowry had 16, 7, and 6, 3 threes. Gasol had 13, 5 boards. He hit a 3. Ananobi had 12. Siakam had 18 and 11 with a dime. Siakam hit a 3, but he was fairly cold shooting, I think, 4 of 13. In the game, I want to see if he had any, no blocks, no steals, 2 turnovers. That's really not a good game from Siakam, and they still rock the Nets. Once again, in this game, you hold, bottom line, you hold LeVert. He had 15, Allen had 15, Temple had 12, Harris had 19. The guy that's been so great for him is Cabarro. He had 26. 26. That's incredible. He hit 6 threes in the game. TLC, Cabarro going off again. Meanwhile, they play him 33 minutes off the bench. LeVert was called 0 for 2 from downtown, 5 of 14 from the floor. Temple was 5 of 15. Allen was 6 of 10. But, I mean, Allen had 1 block in the game. That looks like, I guess Martin also had a block. 2 blocks in the whole game. Bottom line is, the Nets shot 31% from downtown. And the Raptors shot 50% from downtown. And they made 32 of 33 free throws. And that was all she wrote. They got to the line and they made all of them. 33 free points at the stripe. Still daunting when you're standing there and shooting the free throws when you're tired. Believe me. The game of the day was the Nuggets, 135-125 in overtime. They beat the Jazz. Murray went off late in the game and started hitting huge shots for the Nuggets. Murray ended up with 36 points. He hit 6 threes. He was 13 of 20 from the floor. 5 boards, 9 dimes. Monster game for Murray. Jokic had 29 and 10. The double-double, the big fella. 4 threes. I want to see if he had any. I just want to see if he had any. He had a block, too. 2 steals. 3 dimes. 10 and 3. That's crazy. 29, 10, and 3. That's a big game. That's a really big game. Craig gave him 11. Porter gave him 13. Millsap, 8. Porter, just 5 of 13 from the floor. He hit 3 threes. So 9 of his 13 from downtown. Grant hit a couple of threes. Morris hit a couple of threes. Dozier hit a 3. They shot 53% from 3. 22 of 41. As for the Jazz, 57 from Spida. 57 and you lose. It doesn't matter if you have 57 points when you lose. I know that. I had 36 and 7 one night and lost. I came home and Chop, my daughter, said, what'd you have? I go, 36 and 7. We lost. She's like, you suck. That's what she said to me. She's 12. If you lose your week, you have nothing. You can't talk about numbers when you lose. Yeah, I had a huge game. I played against a guy the other day. I hit like 10 threes on him. And the guy, he had like six rebounds. He goes, we beat him. We literally obliterated him like 12-2. And the guy goes, oh, I had six boards. Sorry, dude. I hit 10 threes. I was draining from everywhere. The guy told me about his rebounds. I'm like, that's great. If I had 50 rebounds, but you lose, you suck, according to my daughter. How about that game, though? 57 for Spida, 19 of 33. 6 threes, 6 of 15 from downtown, perfect from the line, 13 for 13, 9 boards, 7 dimes, Spida going off.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So this game's crazy with the Clippers and Mavs. Beverly with the kiss off the glass. It's 101-98, five and change left. About 505 and counting left in the game. Your boy Doncic is just absolutely going off. He's got 34, 5 and 8, and 2 threes. He just shot a 30-footer and clanked it off the rim, but he pulls up from everywhere. And this is his game. Ever since they threw out Porzingis, he's had the rock in his hands 95% of the time. And everything that they do, everything that they create, everything that they produce on, that they actually get buckets out of, it comes from his hand. One or the other. He either scores or dishes. And, I mean, everything is because of him. I mean, there's literally no one else on the team. I mean, I guess Hardaway's got 18. I'll give you that. But Porzingis had 14 and got ejected. So nobody else has done jack. I mean, literally no one. No one. Not one player has done anything. I guess Curry, 14, but that was all in the first half. I haven't seen him hit a shot in a minute, have I? I mean, I'm watching the game. By the way, the guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle. The Blues game is going on in terms of the NHL, and they're up 1-0 after the first period on the Canucks. Huge for them. They had the Shen overtime winner the other night, and now they're trying to go for 2-2, tie up the series if they can win tonight, and they're up a goal on the Canucks after one, and it was O'Reilly on the power play from Pietrangelo. One zip, 16:43. So late in the first, you get the O'Reilly Auto Parts goal. Did you like that, Mafia? Better parts, better prices. Remember, you remember them? There you go. 1-0. So, how about
being a sponsor for us?
Yeah.
You just sing the song and everything.
How about the Avs? Makar, a goal and an assist. How about this game? 7-1. Nieto, boom. Kadri, power play, 2, boom. Kadri, power play, again, 3, boom. Makar with an assist. Donskoy, ballet, 4-zip, boom. Then they give up a power play goal. Then Makar, unassisted, boom, 5-1. Calvert, Chaney, 6-1, boom. Rantanen, power play, 7-1, boom. I mean, just boom, shakalaka.
Boom, yeah, of course, shakalaka. Last game is when I'm on the Avs, and Kemper says like a career high in saves, and then this game. I'm like, I'm not touching it. They killed me last game, and they just let the floodgates open.
Floodgates. I mean, they're up 3-1 now. After that, you know it's over. After you give up 7 goals in a, right. a game 4, you're done. You're done. They're going to lose. Do you think that the...
Especially this year in the bubble. Like, it's one thing if it was like, you know, years ago where it's like a fight and you could get, you know, your home crowd. Like, with the way these guys have been stuck there for weeks, if you're up, you know, down 3-1, you don't care about that fourth game. You just want to go home.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think the Capitals, who are down 3-0, are going to save face tomorrow and beat the Islanders?
No.
Or do they go out 4-0?
They go out. They're on their shields. They gave up. They're done.
They're done. They're toast.
They're toast.
Schmuckers on it?
Yes. The Islanders have found out how to beat them in this series. They've run them for most of the series.
Are you surprised, Mafia, that I don't have pictures of chicks in G-string bikinis from Surf City on my shirt? Are you surprised that I just have a picture of the pier on the shirt and that I don't have any G-strings?
I am surprised. You do have a lot of that kind of gear. You know, all the years out there in HB, all the visits you made out there, you're longing to be back out there, even if it means leaving your family. I'm surprised you don't have a little more risque, you know, attire on.
Are you surprised that I haven't moved back to San Diego?
Yes, because you love your family, but you love the surf even more.
How much do I go to San Diego, Mafia?
Every chance you get. I mean, that's why you even dragged your family there forever. Your wife was fighting you that she would not go to California. She now would be on, you know, a 6-hour flight because right. she couldn't, you know, smoke on that the whole time. And she was Jones, and you dragged her out there once, and now it's been multiple times. And you guys don't go anywhere more than once on vacation. Like, you go there once, it's burned, it's done, move on to the next place. You've gone there multiple times. They love it.
Multiple times to San Diego. I love it there. Scott Kaplan knows I love it there. He knows. He's talked to me a million times about it. He knows that that's where I roll. I go out there and do it all. Surf, skateboard, eat, party, you name it. It is just awesome there. I got good friends in San Diego. It's great being on the Mightier 1090. And then obviously I worked in LA for all those years. I lived there for 10 years in Huntington Beach. So I did everything in Lipstick City. I can't believe we're on there. I think it's Gandhi. I'm loving life. I mean, it is just exotic. It's erotica for me. Can't even tell you. But speaking of pikers, even though I never brought any pikers up, I'm going to bring one up now. How about the pikers, the Canes? How do you blow that game? Seriously, I don't even understand that at all. You're up. Oh, I guess it was 2-0. All right. So it was Williams and then Martinook. It was 2-0 and then DeBrusk 2-1, 7:26 of the third. They're down a goal. 10-10, 10 minutes into it. Clifton, New Jersey with a goal, 2-2. Then Marchand a minute and a half later, it's 3-2. And then DeBrusk again, 4-2. Krejci had an assist. Krug had an assist. Nordstrom, even Clifton, New Jersey had an assist on the DeBrusk first goal, but they beat him 4 straight goals. Bang, bang. Chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Boom, boom. You lose. Boom, boom. Out go the lights. You're up 2-0. You got to win the game. So that's a disaster right there, if you ask me. Reimer got lit like a rented mule. All right. So, that's now 3-1 Boston. So, in my opinion, it's going to be very difficult for Carolina to recover from that, you know, spanking. Charlie spanking. Bent over, spanked and called Charlie. Spanking. And then the Avs are up 3-1. That series is over. You know it's over, right? It's just over. The Lightning are up 3-1 on the Blue Jackets. I think they got their number now. They finally got to Carpasalo. They got space inside his house. They got a couple rooms on the second floor that they're leasing out. One to themselves, second to some hookers. The Blues lead it on the O'Reilly goal going into the second. And then tomorrow, Flyers, Canadians, you got the Habs, Carey Price against who did I call him today? Like the singer? Corey Hart. Do you remember the singer? What is the kid's name again?
It's Carrie Hart. Right?
It's Carrie. I called him Corey. Love you forever.
Isn't that also the player on the Brewers for a while, the outfielder?
Yeah. What was never surrender law? You remember?
Oh, no, it's Connor Hart. Connor Hart is the goalie.
Connor Hart, but the kid Corey Hart was the singer. Never surrender law. Remember how cheesy that guy was with his leather jacket? Pretty boy, Giraspe. Flames Stars. 2-2 there. By the way, the Philly lead for Philadelphia up 2-1 on the Habs. The Habitant et la Boue, ah. And then, Dallas with the comeback, and they scored on your boy Talbot. Wasn't that your old goalie for the Rangers, Moff?
Yeah, Cam Talbot was the old backup there. And then after, Hank was still in the net, and he decided he was a free agent, let's move on, and went to Greener Parish. He was also the former goalie, I believe, in Edmonton, right?
Yeah, he went. That's right. He went to Ferrell, Alberta. He went out there to Edmonton and Calgary, Ferrell, Alberta. Great bar in Calgary called Cowboys. There's a lot of action in there, nudity. There's all kinds of action in that club. Capitals, Islanders, 3-0 Isles. Barzal's been incredible. Anders Lee's been incredible. The captain. And then, obviously, you know, Bevilier has yet to light it up, but I think Nelson and Bailey have been tough. They are just better than the Capitals. That's all there is to it. And you knew, and I bet on him to win the series, that Barry Trotz was going to have Reardon and the Capitals number. He knows everything about every player on that team, six ways till Sunday. And they're up 3-0 in the series. Man, has that been a Barry Trotz Pharrell U to the Capitals. Like, you remember me? Remember you wouldn't pay me after I won you a Stanley Cup? And I walked out the 2 days later, 2 weeks later, the guy was gone, right? And the fact that he's just doing them is just beautiful. It really is. The Blackhawks stole a game because of Crawford on Sunday night. They beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Mafia, you don't think they're going to do that again tomorrow, do you? You're going to go Vegas again, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going back with the Vegas boys for sure.
They're basically 2-1 to beat their ass. So Vegas can still win the series tomorrow. Islanders can win the series tomorrow. And the other ones still have some work to accomplish. We still got a lot to cover on this show. A few things I want to talk about. I got some of those SEC big games in college football. They're actually going to play ACC, SEC, and Big 12. Despite a lot of kids like in the Big 12 in Oklahoma having the Honda, the COVID. It's for all on a bench. Listen, I've heard different things about Gerald McCoy's injury that he, the Cowboys vet, leaves practice, torn quad, requires season-ending surgery. I've heard it's other things too, like, right? A knee, blah, 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 quad, whatever. Surgery, he's done. I can't keep track of all of it, but there you go. North Carolina shifts to full-time remote learning after an outbreak. Football unaffected. How funny is that? How funny is that? That not that it, I don't think it's funny at all, but I'm saying how funny is it that I just saw that headline that they went to remote learning at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, but they're not, it's not going to affect football at all, but everybody else has to get off the campus, leave, go home. You're going to take your classes online. We're not having in-person campus college this year. You're going to learn online. You're going to pay all that money to do your work online, which is a joke. And then, but as long as we don't interrupt football, we don't care who gets sick. I mean, does that not scream of that? We're going to do
well, they have such
remote.
A haunted football program there, Scott. You can't shut that down. I mean, they're legendary there.
Don't be making fun of Mac Brown, son. So they tell the students, you're not allowed to come to campus, but the football team can. The football. The football team's unaffected. Meanwhile, it's I would agree with you. They don't matter. But I thought he did a pretty good job coming back and coaching Mac, because he was long gone, right? And then somehow they talked him out of retirement. And he's coaching in Chapel Hill, and he's having fun. I thought he did a pretty good job last year, all things being equal. I talked about this last week on the show, like on Coast to Coast on the TV side, the Duke and Notre Dame, that they're supposed to be so smart. S-M-R-T. S-M-R-T. Smart is so smart. No, listen, you know for a fact they're both top schools in the country academically. Both of them are high-end academics. Duke and Durham, South Bend, Notre Dame. It's hard as hell to get into them as a student, right? And then, like, particularly out of state, right? Getting in there is hell. But then they're too stupid to admit that there's a problem with COVID. They don't even want to talk about it. Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, all he ever talks about is, there's a lot of testing going on. We have a job to do here. There's a lot of testing. And I'm sure there's going to be positive tests, but we're very busy. We're very busy getting our way as usual. We're going to be in the ACC this year, very busy getting our way. They always get their way, Notre Dame. They got their own network. They get their own. They're not even in a league, but then they get in a league automatic. They're like, it took 5 minutes. Everybody else wants to play college football, even the ones that have canceled college football. The ones like Ohio State, they've canceled the Big Ten, but their star quarterbacks petitioning every kid in college to sign a piece of paper saying, we want our football games back. Well, you're not getting them back, okay? So there's that. And let's just save you a lot of time and money. You're not getting it back, and that's final. So go get ready for the NFL, Justin. That's what you need to do. Go get your agent. Go get your trainer. Start training for the NFL draft, because that's where you're headed. All right. So I just wanted to say there's a lot of schools back, you know, going back, and there are some that are back. And then they are having they have this rule, no keg parties and everything else. And there's going to be social distancing. And I'm just going to clear that up for everybody. My ass. The minute they go back to school, take a look at NC State, North Carolina, everywhere they're at, everywhere where they're already there, they are drinking kegs and having parties, and everybody's trying to get some. And I'm talking, dudes are hitting on chicks are hitting on dudes. They are drinking and dancing, and they are getting naked, and that's all there is to it in college. Don't tell me for 1 minute they're following any COVID rules or protocols at all. It's going to be a massive problem. There's going to be gigantic numbers of college students getting COVID. Count on it. They already have. At Oklahoma State, I believe, they've already, maybe I could be wrong, but you know, I'm on. Well, I know Oklahoma had 9, but how about the sorority on the campus where the entire sorority got quarantined? Like 23 chicks are quarantined. And that's that Vancouver scores to tie up the Blues. JT Miller.
Another former Ranger.
Here he is off a turnover up at the point, shot on and in. All the way from up to, I think it was deflected on the way in by Miller on a slap shot from the point. It was Miller out of the air with a bouncer, a redirector tipper on the ice, Tipper Gore. So I see that the Bears will begin their season without fans at Soldier Field. So no soup for you. Robert Alford out for the year with a torn pec muscle. Cardinals cornerback, he's done. See ya. That's what training camp's good for every year. I've always said this on the bench. Training camp's a great time to get injured and lose your season. And how about training camp this year? They're at training camp, right? And they don't even hit. They don't. Half of them aren't even in pads. Right? They're not even hitting. They're not doing anything. Kei Nishikora tests positive for the coronavirus, but might still play in the U.S. Open. Yeah, Kei, here's a great idea. You got the Honda, so come to the U.S. Open and give it to everybody. I mean, come on. Just stay home, bro. It's over. We don't want you. Melvin Ingram of the Chargers not practicing due to contract dissatisfaction. So, not happy with his deal, apparently, after they gave all that money to Bosa. Apparently, he wants some money, too. Right? Mafia, your boy John Jones has vacated his light heavyweight belt and moved up to heavyweight. And I see that both Nagano, whatever his name is, and Jones would both be favored over Stipe Miocic in a heavyweight fight.
Good luck with that. Nagano did that once and had that work out for him. He just wrestled him and he beat him up just like Cormier would. I mean, Nagano's a badass. He can definitely knock him out. He's got to be scared of. But if you're Stipe, you're just going to do what he's not good at, which is just take him down to the ground and put him on his back. And there's a chance he could still get knocked out. Maybe Nagano's improved his wrestling takedown defense, but that's the smart way to play. And that's what he just did against Cormier, who was an Olympic wrestler. So you think he can't do that against Nagano?
Well, I'm not questioning you at all, but...
you're not. Books. I'm saying the books. It's crazy. The guy's the greatest heavyweight in the history of the UFC, and you're making him an underdog against these guys? Come on. Where's the respect?
No respect. Jeff Wilpon hates Steve Cohen, allegedly. The simmering feud will not stop the billionaire's pursuit of the Mets. I have heard today that the Wilpons want to sell the team to A-Rod. What do you think? Like, he was not in first place. Cohen had the highest bid. Do you believe that the Wilpons hate Steve Cohen and that they're going to sell the team to A-Rod? That's your team, the Mets.
I mean, that's what the rumor is. They're saying that they might even make him bid like as much as twice as much before they'll be willing to sell. Like, they'll just take whatever A-Rod offers, even if it's a little less. Or, you know, it's got to be at least double for Steve Cohen for them to be willing to sell it to him because they're so mad at him for pulling out the last deal, which was their fault. They wanted to change the deal. They had an agreed upon deal, verbally said, okay, this is what's going to happen. He was even letting them hang around for a bit. And then they wanted to be like, you know what? Actually, we want to change things. Like, what? No. I'm trying to give you $2 billion. Get out of here. And he left. And, you know, apparently they got hard feelings about it and don't want to give him the team, which is stupid.
Alabama's football schedule. They open at Missouri on the 26th of September. Then A&M at home, Ole Miss at home, or no, at Ole Miss in Oxford. I think there'll be social distancing at the Grove for that tailgate party. Georgia, they have at home on the 17th of October. The following week, they're at Tennessee. Then Mississippi State at home, open date on November 7th. At LSU on November 14th, there's the big game. At the Bayou, down in Baton Rouge on the 14th of November. Then Kentucky at home, Auburn, the Iron Bowl at home on the 28th of November. And then at Fayetteville against Arkansas on December 5th. There is the Alabama football schedule for this fall. Very exciting. Everyone's talking about all these teams and their schedules. It is amazing, isn't it? So I want to, like, some of them, I saw some of the other ones too. I actually sent my guys some of the other schedules in the SEC when they announced all that today, but I just like scroll through them if I can find them, but it might take me so long to find them. It's not even worth it. The St. Louis-Vancouver game is one apiece. And we already know that the Mavericks finished them off. Is that about right? I know. I just want to get, or the Clippers finished them off in terms of the final score of that game. Nice job throwing Porzingis out of the game. A great game until they did that. The refs ruined the game. And then the Clippers beat the Mavericks and covered. They beat them by 8, 118, 110. And at the end of the day, Doncic for the Mavs had 42, 7, and 9. And then Kawhi had 29. PG had 27. Morris, 19. Williams, 14. Zubats, 10. There you go. Clippers win it, 118, 110. You already know the Celtics won by 8. Raptors blew out the Nets, 134, 110. And the Nuggets by 10 in overtime over the Jazz. tomorrow, Heat Pacers. We all know, and we know Buckets has denied it, that there's no tension with Warren. We know that he's lying. When he tries to sell us that it doesn't mean anything at all, when we saw that they went after each other, when we saw them talking smack to one another, when we saw them yelling after baskets at one another on the opposite ends of the floor, and now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that they've had some kumbaya moment and they love each other and they have a higher power. I'm not buying it. I don't think they like each other at all. I think they want to school each other. I think they both want to win. And I actually think the Pacers are going to give the Heat problems. I think it'll be a good series. I think it'll be physical back and forth games. I think it'll be games of runs. And, you know, we'll see who gets it done. Let's go.
I especially don't believe it because it's Jimmy Butler. That guy doesn't get along with his own team half the time, let alone the other team.
Right. The first game tomorrow is the Magic Bucks. And Mavia, you have an interesting theory there about the Magic.
I think it's going to be a tougher series than people think. You know, the Bucks, you know, they could say like they're slow playing it like the Lakers. It didn't matter, but they didn't look good in this bubble. They looked off. And Orlando is a tough, scrappy team. I think Milwaukee's probably going to beat them, maybe even in four or at least five, but I still think that Orlando's going to make them work every single game, and it's going to be scrap, you know, fight the whole time, just like the Nets, you know, fought against some of these other teams that came against the Bucks. I think it's going to be a tough game for them, and it's not going to be an easy walk through the park.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that everybody thinks they're just going to roll them. The number's 12 in that game. And then when we come back, we'll take a look at the baseball that went down tonight. I got all those games ongoing and finals. We'll take a look at those before we get out of here. And it's all happening on Pharrell and a Bench like you read about. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Don't go anywhere. Tatis with a grand slam tonight. Padres up 14-3, bottom eight on the Rangers in Texas. Mariners 8-6 over the Dodgers. Astros lead the Rockies 2-1. They're in the ninth. D-backs up 3-1 on the A's, bottom seven. Giants 6-5 on the Angels, middle of the sixth. Yankees beat the Red Sox. Cards and Cubs split two. Cards won the first. Cubs the back end. Braves by a run over the Nats. Mets blew out the Marlins 11-4. White Sox 7-2 over the Tigers. Twins 4-1 over the Royals. As far as the NBA, I was telling you tomorrow, we gave you the Heat Pacers. Blazers, Lakers, that one's at 9 Eastern. The Magic Bucks is the early one, 1:30 in the afternoon. Thunder Rockets is 6:30. So the late game is going to be the Blazers, Lakers. Gabe Morenci is here from Sports Rage coming up next. Hey, Morenci, who do you like in those games tomorrow? Heat Pacers, Blazers, Lakers, Magic Bucks, Thunder, Rockets, any of them stand out to you? And what do you think of the Bruins coming back with four in the third to stun the Canes?
Yeah, that's what the Boston Bruins are all about, man. You don't have to like them. You know, you definitely don't have to love them. You can hate them, but you have to respect them. And, you know, the style of hockey that they play, they're the big, bad Bruins for a reason. They, you know, they don't give up. They play a physical brand of hockey. They just get the puck to the net, and good things happen for them. As far as the NBA is concerned, I'm really excited about the Blazers. I guess I'm a public mark here. I'm looking forward to this Blazers and Lakers series. And I'll tell you what, Scotty, we've seen this in every sport over the years, man. And I don't care what sport it is, but the team that has been playing critical games and must-win games for a couple of weeks or a month or so, you see it in football, peaking at the right time. I think the Blazers come in hot and have a big advantage in game one here against the Lakers team that hasn't played a meaningful game in about 6 months.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the way they're playing, and I think they're going to keep rocking, and I don't think they've run out of juice at all. Blues up 2-1 on Vancouver late. Sports Rage is next. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 in Cali on Mightier 1090. Good night.